So the Immaculate Conception, this celebration that we enjoy today, has a very long history throughout Christianity. Yes, the doctrine was promulgated in 1854 by the Pope, but it wasn't kind of invented there as kind of is commonly perceived. All the Pope did at that time was he resolved theologically the dispute. There were theologians and many even of the faithful began to kind of doubt whether or not Mary was conceived without sin. And so the Pope said, according to tradition, according to the belief of our faith and just the generosity of God, yes, this is a truth of our faith that we believe. So we kind of ended the debate. Now there's theologians that begin articulating this idea as early as the 4th and 5th century. And part of it is they look at Scripture and they find something fascinating about this narrative, about when the angel Gabriel visits the Blessed Mother. Every other time an angel or the Lord reveals himself to a figure in Scripture, the very first words that they say are, "Be not afraid." It's, in fact, the most common message in Scripture is to be not afraid. But so in this appearance, when Gabriel comes to Mary, he begins, "Hail, full of grace." So it changes the pattern. So there's this pattern throughout Scripture of all these appearances, these theophanic events, a theophany being an event where the Lord reveals himself, some sort of divine revelation poured forth upon an individual. And so there's a pattern to all these other events that this one deviates from. And so it's worth noting. So when the angel says, "Hail, full of grace," he's indicating there's something special about Mary. There's something special about her soul, about her entire being, that even the angels notice. So the Immaculate Conception then is the work of God's generous grace upon Mary when she was conceived in Anna's womb to be preserved from the stain of sin. And if we look, if we take what Mary, how Mary responds to the angel versus how Adam responds to God in the garden, we can see the fruit of what God's grace does for us in our life. Adam and Eve ran from the Lord because they no longer trusted him. When God appeared to them in the garden, right after they ate from the forbidden fruit, they hid because they were afraid. But Mary, when the angel appears, stands there. She doesn't run away. She's perplexed and is curious, what kind of greeting is this? See, Mary knows the Scriptures. She knows that when God appears to Moses or to Abraham, or when all the angelic beings appeared to Jacob, who became Israel, that the first words from the angel was, "Be not afraid." And yet, the angel greets her, "Hail, full of grace." It's a different greeting, because Mary is not afraid. Her love for the Lord is so perfect that she's rejoicing in this encounter. She sees and recognizes something that draws and fulfills her heart. And that's the beauty of this great feast, is that Mary shows us that we need not be afraid of God anymore. That God, who has given us those graces to have sin drawn out of us, helps us to enter into this same relationship where we need not be afraid of the Lord anymore. And how do we know this? Well, the first letter of John, chapter 4, says that perfect love casts out all fear. So if we look, we can see how Mary is the creature of perfect love, and Adam and Eve are the creatures of imperfect love. And so today, then, is as much a chance for us to look at our own selves and to see what happens to us whenever God makes himself present upon this altar. Do we rejoice in that, or is there some fear in our heart? The thought of Christ coming back at the end of time, does that bring joy to our heart? Does that bring fear, trepidation, anxiety, or hesitation, or worry? If it's anything but joy and pure love and ecstasy in the presence of the Lord, then that means that we need to grow in our love. We need to grow in our ability to love God and to love others even more. And the Blessed Mother models this for us. She's the great model of the church. She's the disciple par excellence of what it means to follow Christ and to be a Christian. Her love is so great that she stands there. And then, after saying, "Hail, full of grace," then the angel says, "Don't be afraid." Because he's aware of Mary's questioning and kind of, "Okay, what does this mean? Why are you here?" But the angel addresses it not to get rid of the fear in Mary's heart, but for us to look at Mary and to see how that perfect love for God means that we need not be afraid of him. Perfect love for God means that we do not need to fear. And because we don't fear the Lord anymore, then we can accept his call for our life. That's why Mary is enabled to say, yes, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. That's the response of love. She knows what her beloved is asking her. She knows what God is wanting her to do. And she goes. She goes in peace. And she responds in great love. Says, I am ready. That's the beauty of our Blessed Mother. That's the beauty of this great feast that we get to celebrate today. This Immaculate Conception. Now, there's one more reality for us that makes this feast so important for us as well, is that Mary is also a foreshadowing of what will happen to us at the end of time. Will we pray that body and soul will be reunited with the Lord and that we need not ever be afraid of the Lord? For if we have desired him in life, we will desire him in eternity. And so this great mystery, Mary is for us as much a reminder about what will be our destiny for those who have followed the Lord and have lived their life striving for the Lord, that this will be the reward of the blessed, the reward of the righteous, is that eternal and perpetual union with God. Mary got to experience that, not just in heaven, she got to experience that her entire life, because her love for the Lord was perfect. And so if we grow in our perfection, if we perfect our own love for the Lord, then we too can begin to experience heaven right now. And that's a great joy. How wonderful would that be? So with 2.5 weeks left of Advent, with 17 days until Christmas, it's a chance for us to turn to the Blessed Mother, to ask for her intercession, to help us grow in our love for the Lord, so that when the Lord appears, our hearts might be filled with joy and not fear. So that when the Lord comes back again at the end of time, our hearts might be filled with love and not fear. And when we meet the day, when we meet the Lord on the day of our death, again, we can see the one for whom our hearts have yearned the most. That we need not be afraid, because we've lived a life of love for God and of love for neighbor, and we lived that perfectly. So that then we too can say, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your will. That's the great message that we're striving for, and that's what the Blessed Mother helps us to do. So that's what we take our prayer for the remainder of Advent. Let's pray that we can do what the Lord is asking, and we can do it in fear, and we can do it without fear, in great love and in great joy.